begin at a place in Jeremiah chapter 5, and I want you to think with me as our core study issue tonight. Maybe you can come up with some things that I sort of escaped my attention. But think about this. What social or political issues that are contemporary are not a rebuttal against the Creator? Now think about that for a minute. What social or political issue today is not a rebuttal? Anything come to mind? For example, with all the discussion going on, the main topic of life is never on the front burner. Never. Vigorous attempts in the political spectrum, left and right, to eliminate that from any serious consideration on the platform, so to speak, because it polarizes. How could life polarize a society? How does that happen? You pick any other social issue that people want to squawk about and have confrontation over, and without exception, they are all in the face of the Creator. Every one of them. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 22 presents, for instance, prophet is said here from God's word communicating the message from God. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed, now catch the rest of this verse, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail, though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. Pass over the decreed boundary. That only happens because the great Creator established it that way. That doesn't just happen. That happens only because the Creator ordained it. Now, when you think about the topic of rising sea levels, consider the latest poll. There are few people today who have not bought into the whole notion of the global warming hoax and the consequent rising sea level thing that partner with that. I dug up just a couple of things that interest me, and I want to share them with you, and then I want to have you look into the Word with me, and I want to share with you why the whole thing is a rebuttal against the Creator. They measure, by way of gauges and satellites, the global mean sea level. And the last measurement is said that it has risen 4 inches to 8 inches. Now, please just see the gap between 4 and 8. Somewhere between 4 and 8. So is it 5 or 7? Okay. 4 to 8 inches. However, the annual rate of the rise over the past 20 years has been 0.13 inches. A year. Roughly twice the average speed of the preceding 80 years. And they give several reasons why that's so. I just want to fast forward to the consequence or the end. I always go to the end on these things. Somebody will be thinking, well, if the sea level is rising, how high will it go? All right. Most predictions say the warming of the planet will continue and likely accelerate. I don't dispute that. Okay. The oceans will likely continue to rise as well. But predicting the amount, they say, their words, is an inexact science. A recent study says we can expect the oceans to rise between 2.5 and 6.5 feet by the year 2100. Now, if you do a little bit of math, we're coming up on 2017. So, kids, you math geniuses, how many years is that till 2100? Pressure's on. Sure, you can use a calculator.
Yeah.
84 years? Okay. Let me ask you this. Let's just take the term, the arbitrary term, 84 years. How old will you be 84 years from now? How old will you be? These kids will probably be blitzed out of their minds 84 years from now, if they're still here. Okay? Now, I'll come back to this. 2.5, 6.5 feet by 2100, enough to swamp many of the cities along the U.S. East Coast. I don't know about the West Coast. More dire estimates, including a complete meltdown of the Greenland ice sheet, push sea level rise to 23 feet, which they say is enough to submerge London. Okay, now, that assertion is, for instance, the only reason I put that out there is to share with you, for instance, that whole notion is a rebuttal against what God has said. It is typical of so many other issues that as they stand alone and they face off society and they pit society against each other racially or ethnically or politically or socially or whatever, they are all, without exception, in the face of God, what He has said. And if God has said something and somebody supposes something else to be the case, I'm not a betting man. But I'm going with God. So I want you, that's the latest poll. Now, with that said, let me take you verse by verse, show you what God has said. The next stop in your Bible will be in the book of Job, chapter 26, at verse number 10. Job 26:10. When you look at these verses, I just want you to see what is said, and if there's any inkling of a time element, okay? So when you get to 26:10, somebody have it, read it. Give the brother a break here.
He has compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to
them. Okay. He did it with what, does the verse say? Bounds. I.e. boundaries. Time element is? Till what?
Till day and night come to an end.
Till day and night come to an end. Will day and night ever come to an end? I think. Will the day and night ever come to an end?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty soon there'll be no night. So you can figure by then. Now, if you want to take 2100, sail. Your boat is sailed. Take off. I'm looking at, optimistically speaking, biblically speaking, I'm looking at, I'm going to say 1,007 years from now. Matter of fact, I'm going to adjust that. I'm going to say, I'm liking it 7 years from now if certain things happen. No more night. Revelation chapter 21, 22, great reading on that subject. You pick it. Now, also in the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 8, so next stop. When you get there, somebody read it for me, please. Job 38, verse 8.
Who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb?
Okay, there's a question there. Who hath shut up? Now remember, Job 38, is a section in the book of Job that has approximately 80 plus questions that God asks the skeptic, none of which can be answered by the human being. So the question is, who hath shut up the sea with doors? Now that's figurative language. And then he gives an illustration of what had been, a reference to the global flood in Noah's day in which the fountains of the deep exploded out of the ground, coupled with the massive drop from heaven when the water canopy burst. There's the picture that you have when it talks about the water when it broke forth as, keyword, if it issued out of a womb. Look at verse number 10, same chapter, verse 10. Somebody get that for me.
Break up for it, my decreed place and set bars and doors.
Okay, again, using figurative language of bars and doors. Nevertheless, there is the mention of a decreed place. A decreed place. Who's making the decree? The divine creator did that. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11. Somebody read it.
And said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed.
Okay. And basically pointing back to the decreed place. Meaning that the creator's placed a limit as to how far the waters are going to go. All right, now so far, Psalm 89:9 says this. Here's just a simple statement about the creator. When it says, referring to him, thou rulest the raging of the sea. Now sometimes the sea rages. I'm glad I don't live by the water. You can keep your seaside resorts and your stuff like that. I don't care to be involved in it. I like high ground. But nevertheless, seas rage. They rage. Like a flood. We've seen that in our lifetime on many occasions. Poor souls in different places of our country have been inundated with terrible floodwaters. Not only along the coast, but inland, when rivers come up over their banks, they're just terrible, the water, the damage it can do. And yet it is said by the psalmist that the Creator rules the raging. That does not happen unless He, not anybody else, unless He permits it. Now, if you get the Environmental Protection Agency involved, and they refuse to dredge this place or dredge that place, and we're talking about a shallow riverbed that when the snow melt comes and it rolls down through North Dakota, South Dakota, and heading to the Mississippi, and everything's just so shallow, it has no place to go except up over its banks, and everybody gets hammered with it. So if man does not get in the way and manipulated by his bureaucracies, the way God designed is perfect. Just perfect. Now we go on further. Psalm 104, verse 9. Find your place there. 104, verse 9. Anybody?
Thou set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth.
Now we have another wrinkle there. There's a hint of a promise there in the ninth verse that they may not turn again to do what? To cover the earth. Okay, the skeptic says, okay, we'll give you that. The global warming alarmist says, well, yeah, we'll give you that. We're not asserting that the rising sea levels will engulf the entire planet, just the coastal areas. All right? And so they may agree to disagree when you point something like this to their attention. One thing we can draw from what God has said so far, and this goes back to the promise He made in the book of Genesis, which we'll get to in a moment, that He never will permit the earth to be judged by a deluge again, ever. Now, that's a global application. The evolutionists and the secularists denied the occurrence that the flood ever happened globally. They may admit on a good day that it was a local manifestation. It only happened in certain parts of the planet, and yet they can't see the same logic in reverse. Can't see the same logic. Now go to Proverbs 8, verse 29. Proverbs 8, verse 29. Who has it?
When he gave to the sea his consent decree, and that the waves should not pass his commandment, and he appointed the foundation of the earth.
Okay, we got a couple of things here. It takes us back to the foundations of the earth, which takes us back to Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. He gave to the sea his decree, and that decree said that the water should not pass his commandment when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Now, you go from creation to Noah's generation. Only by God's permit and by God's design would he who has the right as the sovereign creator to sidestep his decree to make an exception because of judgment. Only he does that. Man didn't have anything to do with that global flood. It just came. because God had permitted it. Which is to say that that Christ Jesus, and again, He's the focal point here, because in every one of these issues, Christ is being rebutted because of what He has done or what He has said. Don't lose track of that. Christ Jesus, the mighty Creator, the Redeemer, and the coming King, rules and reigns over all His creation without exception in all of its parts. And so when you think about the global warming hoax, rising sea levels due to the melting ice caps and so forth, you can attribute that to a political scam. That's designed to extract money out of governments and individuals' pocketbooks. Period. That's designed to enforce a degree of control over persons' private personal lives, to extract from you and me a degree of liberty. Simple consideration such as, how high do I want to put my thermostat in my house? If I want it to 85, God forbid it would be ever in my house that high, but if I want to put it on 85 and be toasty, that's up to me. That I should have the freedom to do that. If somebody says, no, well, 65 is fine, that's good. You want to live with 65, you go for it. This is America. And I love my freedom. But when you get to a place where they install, by government decree and bureaucracy, thermostats in your home that are remotely controlled by the authorities, the flag comes up. And that's at the root of this. All that said, this whole notion of man-made, man-caused pollutants runs full speed into the iceberg, paradoxically, the Titanic iceberg of God's promise. And we see that, Genesis 9, get you here and then quit for tonight. Genesis 9, you get the drift of the rebuttal. And then there's an application of the truth that we don't have time for tonight. Genesis 9, verse 13. Genesis 9, verse 13. We read these verses. This is floods over. This is the chapter that describes the great Noahic covenant. I do set my bow, otherwise known as a what?
Rainbow.
In the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow or shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall, next two words, no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Now, we're not only talking about every human being, because the sea rising alarmists also assert that one of the sidebar damages that's considered is the loss of the habitats of creatures and insects and birds and so forth will be utterly destroyed. Millions of people have to move out of their houses and relocate, yada, yada, yada. When I look at Genesis 9, verses 13 to 15, it says, the water shall no more become a flood to destroy our flesh. Only our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Creator, is in control of the waterworks. Period. Only He is. In Genesis 8:1, God made a wind to pass over the earth. And this is the reducing of the flood. You know, a couple years ago when we had water in our church, remember that? The place was all flooded out. And we had Brian Mara coming out of Brackenridge with a firm called Unflooded. And he and his crew did a super job. They are outstanding. And that's the report I hear about him and his outfit every place they've been. Every place. He's a good, solid businessman. He does a professional job. His workers are conscientious and customer friendly and all that stuff. He does a great job in taking the water up. But I want to say to you that there is no one on the planet who can clean up the water like the Creator. None. When you look at what we see in Genesis 8:1, He made a wind to pass over the earth, and it says the waters, and it uses an old archaic word, assuaged. It means that they began to decline and roll back. In the second verse in chapter 8, the fountains of the deep, the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain was restrained. Who did that? The Creator. When did He do it? After He was finished with judgment. After He was finished with judgment. The waters were abated, according to the 8th chapter. So, I'll leave it with you there and think about this. Without ever intending tonight to use this as a platform to go off on a political lark, I don't do that. My only desire was to allow us to focus again on our Redeemer and His greatness, and to see how hideous and sinister the effects of this world system are as it seeks to undermine the authority of everything that He did and everything that He said, and how that has carried over from the natural world, His creation, into His special creation, the human being. Because when you get into the scriptures, you will find terms like floods used of ungodly people. You will find in the scriptures men referred to as raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame. So there is an application to this that we've looked at tonight with regard to the work of the divine Creator and how it affects His most special creation, those who've been made, me and you, in His image. Made in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit, mind, emotion, and will in the image of God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, lead us now into our time of intercession. Help us to realize the great potential that is there as we come to the throne of grace and lay our requests out for people and their burdens and their needs, knowing that we do have a hearing in heaven and we have a God who delights in our requests and who is able to meet those needs as would be according to the will of God. And so we pray, dear God, that You might give us the energy and the drive to maintain this kind of a prayerful relationship with You on an everyday basis, being tender-hearted and compassionate with regard to the needs of others around us, family members and friends and even total strangers. And Lord, before we break off and go into our prayer groups tonight, we would just call upon You to encamp around our soldiers tonight, those who especially are under fire today, and keep each and every one of them safe. And we pray, Lord, knowing that You can do this, that You will allow no casualties, none. And we pray, dear God, that our enemies there and their aiders and abettors here might be trampled into the dust even tonight. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.